sound one right in the beginning of the visit with Cookie. This Sunday, right after lunch, the 20th of June, 1971, he came up to report. Beginning of Sunday, Channel 1 right, the beginning of the visit with Cookie. This Sunday, the 20th of June, 1971, the beginning of the visit with Cookie, he came up to report. Hotter inside, outside, and says in now, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
How about that?
That's all right.
Can't hear it. Japanese.
There's what I want, getting that big one like that right there.
I went in there to get it. Like this?
Yeah, put in the window at the house.
Have you ever seen anything go as sound as that thing?
Mm-mm. That goes in your toolbox.
Did you get one?
Huh?
Did you get one that would go in there?
It was a quarter.
It was a quarter.
Yeah. You had me running all over this end of the county. Looking for a long 7.36.
That's a quarter.
Yeah. I didn't try it. Well, I found a 7/32 of a long chain. That comes from believing people.
He just ran down Ocala 2-3 times. This is hot, Jeff.
And, it's hot. And, you know, all of them, you still had to drive them in.
Still had to spring those wires open.
And I started to put it back. And I said to myself, what a damn fool is this? And I got one of those little quarter-inch stove boats. And had done the same thing. Now, why they had to go put that sort of head on that, it wouldn't come off, is more than I can figure out. And you see, they got this, Cookie. They got this so you can take it off with it running. See this little thing here?
Yeah.
There's two or three of them around there, and you can just take it off. And the propeller's plastic, and it'll slip off. And you can put it in the sink.
And wash it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be done.
I got something.
Now, that won't oscillate, will it, back and forth?
Oh, yeah. It'll do anything. Upside down or turn handspring.
Even got a timer.
Timer on it. You can set it at night and go on to sleep.
I wonder if you'll put this up one day so that it doesn't have a nick in it.
That's all right.
You miss that nick.
Yeah. I've been over to the trailer. I got there at 10 o'clock. I got up at 5 this morning. And Helen came in from work.
7 o'clock?
About a quarter till 7. There wasn't nothing done right. Done divided and just getting that blue Cadillac and come to the farm. And I went to sleep over there and I just woke up and drank a cup of coffee and come over here.
1 o'clock.
That's right. But I never went to bed. I worried and wondered about Frank until 20 minutes after 3 this morning.
Frank?
Yeah.
What's he up to?
He's out with my truck. But I know where they're all at right now. I know where they're at. Every one of them.
You know now?
I know now where they're at. They're parked under the oak tree behind the house. Every one of them.
You mean over Hawthorne?
Over Hawthorne. When they think I've got to bend over backwards, why, to get them to work and then pay them too, why, I don't have to work that dog truck. It's paid for. I paid for that song gun before I ever rolled it away from over there.
Frank has got the upper hand now?
He thinks he has.
He's
I put him walking.
Again?
I said, well, get out there and took them down Melons. I ain't gonna let you haul them. He said, how am I gonna get there? I said, nah, don't make any difference. If you wanna go bad enough, I'll walk. Faye, I've done everything under the sun to help that boy, and I've talked with him.
Yes.
I've been pleading with him to do what's right. And he is absolutely trying to tear up everything I got.
Including the candle.
And I'm not going to let him. I'm just not going to let him. I can't afford it. When he was running around in that Corvair, I bought it for him.
Yeah.
I didn't know it until yesterday. That's the reason I was so blue yesterday. I couldn't think. I had other stuff on my mind. So I called me yesterday morning. He said, Cookie. He said, where's your boy at? I said, he's in the watermelon field, the hall watermelon. But he's got a bill over here for $131.18. I said, well, he can't have. He has. He said he promised to pay me and promised he was going to pay me a little bit on it, and he ain't even come by. I want my money before Monday morning, or I'm going to take it and put it out for collection. I said, when did he start this account? And he told me. He said, January 21st. And he said, he ain't paid me a nickel. I said, well, mister, I don't blame you a damn bit.
Put him up, put it up?
I said, I'll be there and this afternoon and pay you. And I went and paid you. And Frank denied the fact last night that he even got stuff. But it was his handwriting on the ticket. And then when I put him off.
Oh, last night.
I said, just let it go.
Where was that?
University Automotive Supply. Up there where I bought all my parts. And I paid for my parts as I got them.
I'm surprised they let him have it.
They let him have it on my reputation, Faye. Mm-hmm. To keep my reputation clean, I went and paid it. I can go back to Mike and get anything I want, whether I got the money or whether I ain't. I just had to put it down. I just had to say no. I mean, it just went too far. I said no. Just leave them sitting under the tree. And I know they ain't cost me nothing. But
now that's the least likely source of trouble.
That's right. I had never dreamt that one of my children would do that.
And least of all, Franklin.
Right. I thought he was a stray and dependable to a certain extent.
Why, 100%. I never
I never saw any, had any suspicion anywhere along the line.
I hadn't either. I had never. None at all. And I'd give him money along. The old lady, he didn't make enough money when he was working over there to keep that car going, and I knew it. And he'd come in at the station, and he'd fill it up with gas. I'd set it down on my ticket. Laura did the same thing. And they was for lots of weeks there that I spent $40 a week for gasoline.
Well, I can believe it.
I did.
You know, I've had little accounts around different places, and I have taken particular pains to tell them not to let anyone get anything on my account.
That's right.
But they still do. You could go right down there to McIntosh and get $50 worth, $100 worth, and they wouldn't say a word on my account.
All I got to do is put my name on the bottom of my ticket.
That's right.
Or sign your name to it. It don't make any difference.
It don't matter. No.
So.
And in a way, you know, a fella, the fewer, less accounts he has, the better.
That's right. Sure. That's right.
They don't care down there. They just soon sell it to anybody.
I've got since I went out of the business, station business. I've paid for everything that I've got. You know, I like I could have, I knew Everett would let me pull that truck off a long time before it did. And I got it running and then I paid him for it. I know he would. In fact, the matter, he told me he would.
He did?
Yeah. All he wanted was his money in one lump sum.
Oh, he did?
That's all he wanted. He didn't want to dribble it out. $10 or $15 this week, $10 or $15 next week. He wanted it in one lump sum, so that whenever he got it, he would realize he got his money. Now, and you can see his point?
He just wants to know he got paid for that truck.
That's right. Whereas if he'd have got $10 or $15 a week over a period of 6 months, he wouldn't have realized a nickel out of that truck. Well, I paid him for the truck when I drove it, when I hauled it off. And everything I put on it, I paid for. And I may bring it down here. Just a jockey around down here. Oh, it runs, guy. You can't imagine. You just can't imagine how that thing runs.
Is that right?
You just can't do it. You just can't.
And the sort of bed they got on there, it won't even rattle, will it?
No, it don't rattle.
They built that bed back at the same time they built that shed.
Yes, sir.
And do you see that, huh?
It's built, too.
Did you notice that shed?
Yes, sir. That bed is built.
And that shed is?
Yes, my fella.
That's his daddy. And this fella, Bill Anderson, who went with him to Fort Blanning.
Yeah.
Right back in the Fort Blanning days.
That's right.
Right after what?
46. 46, 47, and 48.
And Bill at Blanning, Bill Anderson was a carpenter, and he took him over there and signed him on as a carpenter. And I guess after that, he and his daddy, and Bill Anderson, Bill had, and he said it was 2 inches off square. And he apologized for it. He said he hired Bill Anderson as a carpenter, and he didn't check on it himself. I think he also likes square bills. And I think he makes them.
Oh, yeah.
He said Willie went over there where he was bailing for Leitner on that big farm over there.
Yeah.
And he said Willie wanted to get his bail. He wanted to follow his truck, his bailer, because it was big and square.
Well, see, he's going to be bailing hay. See, he's going to work today. He's going to work tomorrow. He's going to cut hay Tuesday. And he'll probably bail Wednesday evening or Thursday. And I want to try to get that truck down here to where I can take it over there and work it and his hay and get some of my money back.
How about that? How about that? Why, you get a loader.
I'm going to get a loader.
You get that the first thing. That is the only thing that never breaks down.
That's a loader.
And it...
it keeps from breaking your back.
Oh, the only thing. Now, I ran across some goon. Old Noy Orford. He was my sidekick. He was my ride bower when I first come down here. He's the man that helped me get that silage, and he thought he was helping me. And he made hay. He bought all new equipment. And he wouldn't have a... Ain't that screwball?
That is.
And he wasn't able to load it, and he couldn't even get a nigger to help him. Now, I wouldn't go out there and throw bales up on a truck when somebody could. I used to wonder about that. Why don't you go to hire somebody? What do they care whether they do it by hand or with a machine?
But they care, don't they?
It makes a difference, don't it?
Yes, sir.
If you get used to a post-hole digger...
you ain't going to go back and dig them
by hand. You ain't going back and dig them by hand. Whether you're a nigger or whether you're the head of the company, you're not going to do it. You're just not going to do it. I've come to that. I can see it.
Well, aren't they right in the middle of the watermelon season? Pretty much? Or is it over?
He's not in watermelon.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm thinking about
what Frank is saying. Oh, yeah. Well, it'll last about this week, full strong. But the heck of it is, see, I lost money.
Oh.
I lost $36 in a week. After I paid the help, I had to dig down my pocket and get $36 more.
Well, Cookie, how well could that be?
He just wouldn't load it. He wouldn't load it.
The fellow you're waiting for?
No, Frank. He wouldn't load the truck. 275 watermelons, all he put on that thing. I'd put 400 watermelons on that truck.
And he wouldn't listen to you telling him.
He wouldn't listen. But he's out there toting them now. It's sitting under the oak tree.
It's sitting back there.
Sitting back there.
Who's Melons?
Earl Beckham. They ain't working watermelons over here at Woods, are they?
I tell you what, I haven't been off the place in a week.
I noticed when I drive by, you never see anybody out in the field. No sign of people out in the field. The metal just laying there blistering.
Maybe they're not ready. This dry weather would get them ready. They'd ripen them if they were just half grown.
That's right. They're not very big. That may be the reason.
How about Beckham's?
They're great, big. Huge melon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Irrigated. Big field?
220 acres.
God almighty. Y'all could got rich on that.
That's over 30, they've loaded over 30 semi-trailer loads out of there this past week.
How much?
That's put about three cents? No. They loaded some of them at 8 cents.
Good God Almighty.
Why, Cookie?
They loaded the first bunch at 8 cents. Then they're loading for four right now. Today, they're loading for four.
He never had to worry again.
He's done that every year for the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Dry weather down the country will make him rich up here.
Yeah. You see, down there in Mockley, when they needed rain, they wasn't getting none. All those forest fires was out down the Everglades and everything. They were praying for rain. They couldn't get none.
Yeah. Well, I'm disappointed
about the
truck,
man.
Yeah.
Making out. Oh, I'm satisfied with my truck
dealer. You are.
I ain't that. Boy, he's worth out the play with.
That's an old workhorse.
Yes, my brother. That is a workhorse.
Oh, we won't have any trouble getting the hay in over here, will we?
No, sir.
We just leave. We just load up the truck and let it set on the truck so we won't unload it.
That's right. To worry about the little trailers and tractors and someone to worry with. Just do it yourself and you'll know it's done.
Yeah. Now look at that. Look at that. All that truck for $200 and it'll just last forever and it won't break down. Yeah.
And you can't imagine how slick that old engine runs. You can't do it.
Now, did Everett think that engine would come back?
No, he didn't think it would come back.
And you didn't think it would?
No, sir, I did not. I did not think it would come back.
You thought it was just a mere chance?
A mere chance. I said it'd be one chance in 100 that it would come back.
Well, how do you figure it then?
Well, if and when he drove it up there the last time, which he couldn't remember, he pulled it up there, and it wasn't warm. If it had been hot when he set that engine in there and left it set, it would have sweated and rusted. But evidently there wasn't no rust on it at all. And it ain't got no blue smoke coming out of it. No, uh-uh. Radiator don't leak. I tell you, it's just a jam-up truck for the model. And it's only got 60,000 miles on it. That's actual. He told me, he said, that speedometer's never broke and it's always worked.
Well, now. Here you are. You see, that had to have pretty good care, or it wouldn't do what it does now.
Extra good care. Extra good care. It had to have.
Maybe didn't get rid of it.
Extra good care.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think the reason he got rid of it he had something in the back of his mind to tell him that that truck was something wrong with it. In fact, the matter, right behind the oil filter where it sits on the side of the motor, there's a crack in the block about that long outside. When I first cranked it up, the water just poured out of it, that little crack. Well, he didn't know it was 50 cents to stop that. You remember that copper seal that I had up there at the service station? I put a package of that in there. And in less than 5 minutes after I dumped it in the radiator, there wasn't a drop of water coming out the crack. Of course, it was a clean crack. And it worked.
It won't keep cracking?
No. I wouldn't be afraid to start to California.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. I put new plug wires on it, new plugs, points, and condenser.
Don't tell me about plug wires. I'd look at them at the first thing.
And, put a new coil wire on, and I got me a can of that penetrating, that spray penetrating stuff like I used out here on a lot of things. That red and white can that says 556 on it. I sprayed a whole can of that down in the spark plug holes, you know. Before it would get around those valves.
Oh.
When I first got the starter to working, well, it didn't have a bit of compression. All the valves, well, most of the valves were stuck open. I put a can of that down in there, cost me $1.97. And let it set overnight.
Oh.
I went out the next morning and pushed the starter. It had compression. Well, I was late. I should have been on my way to work, but I took time to get me a quart of motor oil and punched a little hole in it, and I poured a quart of motor oil down in those spark plug holes. And I came back in that evening and tried to crank it.
That next day, you got it on Saturday?
Yeah. And we cranked it Monday evening.
And he's had it out in the field.
Yeah.
Out in the field, they don't load you up, you gotta load yourself.
Oh, you see, I had four men. And funny, that's 5 men. 5 boys.
Yeah.
Two of them toting and two of them are loading, see? And one driver.
Yeah.
Well, they would just load 275 pounds on that truck.
That's $27.
5 cents a piece.
5 cents a piece?
5 cents a piece.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
5 cents a piece.
And a lot of the time, you see, you couldn't load. They just sitting there.
Yeah. Where if it had 400 on it, which would have been $20. And they had plenty of time to have put another 125 melons on that truck before the other truck got unloaded. They wouldn't do that. So, of course, that cost me money. I had to go ahead and pay them.
Cookie, I don't believe you can come out in the watermelon field if you got to do any labor. Now, if you take your truck over there with somebody driving it and let them furnish the labor.
That's right.
And you haul them out for a nickel apiece or some such thing. But I have seen them just sit by the hour and wait for the semis to come.
I can haul them for 2 cents a piece and make money.
With them
loading them.
Them loading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't hire labor anyhow, let go off somewhere else.
Ooh. I may be back in here in the morning and start to work on it. If I have to take the crew out in the morning, I'm going to come home. I'm not going to do it.
Up
at the university. I am not going to do it.
When last Monday, who told her? What did they tell you?
Mr. Lake come down and told me. He said, Melvin's going to be on vacation for the next couple of weeks. You're going to have to take the crew. And I said, now, Mr. Lake, I don't feel like I know enough about it. Yes, you do. You're just the man for it. I said, well, I don't want it. Well, we've got nobody else to take it. Well, he has rode me all week. The men has rode me all week. And I ain't going to be rode all next week.
Yeah.
I ain't going to be rode all week next week. I ain't going to do it. Just ain't going to do it. I'll come back to the farm and help a guy spray dog venom.
Yeah, that's profitable. We'll get it out before the rain comes, before it rains. I didn't put out any this morning.
But I'll tell you what, I'm in a bad, since Frank goofed up the way he has, it's put me in a bad financial position. But I'm not going to take that crew in the morning. I don't care what kind of financial position that I'm in. I'm not going to take it and worry myself.
Well, just knock off for half a day. Hell, I don't know, Cookie. I don't know. I get reamed ever all the time. But I never do come out on top. So I'm no...
You see, I know, and they know, that they ain't got nobody else that can run that pan like I can.
Yes.
And I know, and they know, that they ain't going to let me walk off when I say, no, I'm not going to take the crew. And what they don't know is, that I know, I'll stand up and tell them, by God, I ain't gonna take it. And I'll tell them that I'll go home first. And I'll do it too. They think I won't.
Go a match for transfer, that's the thing to
do. I've not been there 6 months. I've already asked them. I've got to be there 6 months before I can transfer.
Oh, really? Oh, they know how they had that before.
Yeah, see, I tried to get over in maintenance.
Yeah.
They got on me 1 week and rode me. Not too hard, but they rode me. I didn't appreciate it. So I went and asked Mr. Blackwell from Old Windsor. He's in charge of the maintenance.
Yeah.
He's head supervisor over the housing maintenance. I asked him if he needed help. He said, yes, sir, come on. So he went to Mr. Boatwright up in the hub and asked if he could transfer me over there. He said he'd check on it. In the meantime, I went to Mr. Lake and told him I wanted to transfer. That all happened the same day. So they hit head on right in the middle of it. Then Mr. Coons in the transportation department, He's asked for me. He's been to Hub 2 or 3 times to get me transferred over there as a mechanic. But I told him I didn't want that.
Maintenance is better.
Maintenance is better because a screwdriver and a pair of pliers is all I got to mess with.
That's right. That's right. And watch the clock.
If a job comes up, takes more than 30 minutes to fix, they'll say, send it to physical grounds department. They'll come out and fix it.
Charge? Oh, do they charge?
Yes, no, sir. Takes more than 30 minutes to fix a job. Like putting in light bulbs and putting on doorknobs. And that's all you have to do. Window crank. Don't replace no glass at all. That goes strictly to the physical maintenance.
I found out how to put those those window sashes, those window cords back in.
Yeah?
Yes. I was going to tear the whole face off of that thing.
Well, you just take the outside facing off, don't you?
Oh, it's got the inside, at the bottom, it's cut off and got a screw. I tell you where the weight is. Yes. Well, I seen that screw, but I didn't know what it was. And I didn't inquire, you see. My mind wasn't working.
You know, Cookie, it might be that when we went on and got the horses up, because something might happen. What do you think?
Just let it happen. Go rest a while.
Let it happen?
No, it won't take a minute when we get there. Let me tell you, Cookie, full faith, Phil, you go off with faith, or I go out there and help you. What was it? I wanted to ask you about something. Let's see, I've forgotten what it was. What in the world was it? Yeah. Everett, I run into him, and he said Franklin was telling him about a free-for-all he'd been in over to school campus.
How'd you go get him out of that?
Why, you can write a book on that boy.
Yeah, they had a free-for-all over on over school, and Frank was writing a book. And Lou Henry, juvenile officer for the sheriff's department, he come to me.
Cookie?
I didn't know nothing about it. Of course, I didn't have time. I hadn't been home yet. He met me out on campus. He said, your boy is in a hell of a mess, Cookie. I said, what do you mean, Lou? Why, he said, he's about to whip all them niggers and Hawthorne. And I guess he did. I guess old Frank, he cleaned house.
He just listened to y'all talk too much, that's all.
He cleaned house.
You all do the talking, he gonna do the acting.
No, he did. He cleaned house.
Yeah.
And Lou said, well, my God, said he just cleaned up all them niggas in Hawthorne. He said, you better hope and pray that they don't protest it. Which two of them did. I had to go pay a $45 fine for Frank.
Well, I bet Frank thought he was doing right.
Well, now, I tell you what.
Well, he did say he just...
He's mad and he didn't care.
He just didn't give a damn. Yeah. He'd heard Cookie and Alvin and all that crowd talk, you see.
Now, see, we used to do that when we was back boys and there's nothing said about it.
Oh,
but times have changed. Yeah. We can get out and have a free-for-all and then shake hands and go on about our business, see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've had a free-for-all at our school many times. Well, get your eyes black, your nose bloodied, then shake hands and walk on off and play together. Less than an hour, I think.
Yeah.
But them damn days is over.
That's a shame.
I guess that's what makes us so doggone tough.
Yeah, that's right.
But, now Lou helped me out on that. He said, I'll back the boy. He said he thought he was doing right. He said they didn't try to run over him, but he said he shouldn't have cleaned the whole house. And he did. Buddy, he cleaned the house.
He's strong,
could he? Why, he stole his fist up and he couldn't write his name. That left, boy, when he comes out, just that left, and you better look out. That's just like a mule kicking you.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, sir. Have you saw that boy in the past? I mean, just to look at him. You ought to see his shirt off. Well, them muscles sticks up like in his shoulders like a log horse. I tell you, he's muscled. He'll pick up 100 pounds of feed under each arm and just walk on off with it.
Under each arm?
100 pounds of feed under each arm and just walk off with it.
I didn't even get red in the face.
Why, I know.
He's not big to look at, but he's muscle.
He's just big, that's all.
Solid. He's been getting that way for some time.
Well, you see, when he was with Miss Trattner, now I'll start at the first. When he was hauling her to and from the Gainesville, while she was playing bingo, he was lifting weights.
Oh.
Who?
That old lady Trattner, you know, that Frank was staying with there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
When he would take her to Gainesville to play bingo, while she was playing bingo, he was lifting weights.
Yeah.
So that.
Where was he lifting weights?
At the community center in Gainesville.
Where she went?
Yeah.
He knew this day was coming when he'd have to clean house for it also.
Well, he did.
He had that built up for a while, a long time, when you were on that corner down there, you see, on that corner. With the station. Oh, that must have built up. He's seen them birds drive up there. And it wasn't just the colored people.
No. You know, everybody.
They just happened to get in his way. He didn't have anything against them.
I can't think about Frank. He said this innocent living little boy sitting over here, you know, doing it, just watching everything you do.
Yeah.
I can't think about Frank being grown.
Yes, and amen, everything his daddy said.
That's one of the cutest things I ever saw.
That's right.
You'd come in here with Frank, and Frank would just, whatever you say, that Frank was your sidekick.
That's right. If Cookie could have just read the signs quick enough, he's slow, like I am, you see. He just didn't, that footwork was not quite there, was it? If he could just, I don't know how he'd have done it. I have to hear me.
If he just couldn't have driven a car so well.
No. How'd he clean him out? What was he up to?
Start with this one nigger boy. He got flipping around in front of one of them white girls over there.
Yeah. And they've learned how to do it and be mean.
That's right. And I guess Frank, he protested that. And no longer than that's happened, why, here come a gang of niggers. And then here comes Frank's gang. Frank was right in the middle of it. And Frank's gang left him holding a bag. So he had to clean the nigger clan out himself. And I guess he did.
But where was the law all that time?
Downtown.
Oh, they didn't get there till it was all over.
Just about over with. Frank, I think Frank had two or three more to go.
So they witnessed some of it.
Yes, sir.
At least he didn't quit.
No,
he didn't run. He stayed right there.
Well, when you got a good free fall like that, just broken bones, there's not necessarily a hard feeling left.
When he's just about to, he hadn't give out yet, he hadn't give up, he was just about to finish up.
Yeah.
He just laid him out.
That's right. I mean, he'd knock him down.
Why, could?
Just as fast as they get up, he'd knock one of them down, Lou Henry said. He said, I never saw anything like it.
Oh, he saw some of it.
Yes, he saw some of it. And he come straight to campus and told me.
I wish I'd have been.
He just laughing. But he said, I got to do something.
Yeah.
Well, that, of course, it cost us, the nigger boy that started it, it cost his daddy $75. Because he started it.
Yeah.
And it cost me $45 for Frank.
Because you ended it.
That's right.
Now that's for the justice?
Yeah.
Or what was it before? In the police office?
Juvenile officer.
Well, I don't know how many of these, how much you got still in your sack, Cookie.
Cookie, maybe it's a good thing you just got one son.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, just hope for daughters next time.
Of course, I'm telling you, getting them graduated is enough to break a rich man up.
Well, now, heretofore, you've leveled off on that fool graduation stuff or end of school stuff. That's been so costly. And they all want to go off and spend a week on the beach together.
Well, it cost me last week, believe it or not, but I spent over $500.
Including, and a part of that was graduation.
About $300 of it was.
Living at home, no expenses.
Well, let me tell you what happens. Let me tell you what happens after. Now, this is God's truth. I give Helen $70 to go buy groceries. Laura had her check was $117. I go in home yesterday evening. Laura wanted to go downtown. Daddy, I don't have no gas. $187. I don't have no gas.
Why could he? What in the world could have been it? That seems incredible.
Well, she bought a ring. It was $42. And that's everything I saw.
Class ring.
And that's all you saw.
Didn't even have no supper last night.
They had to get evening dress for the long trail.
I don't know what they bought. I have no idea. Only I know I didn't have no supper last night.
Oh, this was just yesterday.
Yesterday.
This is after the graduation.
After the graduation.
Oh.
all the money gone, no food left.
No food left, and then they had to come, Daddy, I ain't got no gas.
Well, I tell you, Cookie, you're just going to have to make them keep account.
I'll tell you what old Cookie's going to do. Old Cookie's going to set his foot down. I'm going to put my money in my pocket. And I'm damn sure going to let him do without a few things. Now, I can't afford it. I went my limit.
They just run you to death.
If you'll let them. Now, see, I've been lenient. Just like Frank. I always said I didn't want my children to have to come up and live the way I had to come up. Walking and riding horseback. Okay, I got Laura a car. Well, she got along exceptionally well. Of course, she had that accident, which was not her fault, and she was not blamed for it. And she wanted a Cadillac. Okay, I got a Cadillac. Frank wanted that Corvette. Okay, I made arrangements and I bought that Corvette for him, which was a good car. If he had took care of it and listened to me, he would still have a good car. And he wanted a Chevrolet. I said, okay, we'll get the Chevrolet. But you're going to have to take better care of it than you did the Corvette. He did for a couple of days. Then he just run, I mean to tell you, he just run it to death. And I had that motor in that pickup truck, which was a good one. He had to take it out. He burnt the motor up in the Chevrolet. He took it out and put it in the Chevrolet and burnt it. He wanted that Ford truck. I said, but Frank, I'm going to trade that Ford truck, but you ain't going to get it. Alright, I go and trade with the Ford truck. And in spite of me, he just burnt it up.
So it's gone now?
Practically. I'm not joking.
Well, you can't, yeah.
What in the world does anybody do?
Beats me. And he would have done burnt my Cadillac up if I'd let him.
Yeah. He still does.
I ain't gonna let him.
Well, he drove it home from the Everett's.
Yeah, but he was right behind me in that truck.
You kept him back there?
I kept him back there in case I broke down.
That's so genius.
I was over 35 miles an hour, and he was right behind me.
Well, he had to hang along with you to help you when you wanted to jolt it a little bit.
That's right, yeah. No, Helen took the whole family with her, you know, and they all wanted this, and they all wanted that. See, they went to a picnic today. They all had to have a new outfit to wear at that picnic. And they got it. But they better make much of it, because they ain't going to get no more.
What did Cookie say? He didn't want to be close with him. What was it?
Because he didn't want him to have to walk.
What did you say?
I didn't want him to have to come up and go through the early part of life like I did.
Well, that's not what you said. You didn't want to be close with him, or what was that?
I didn't want to be too tight on him.
Tight on him.
Yeah.
Tight
that's
on
right.
Him. Why the hell you didn't? You just held the reins as tight as anybody I ever saw and got away with it.
For a while.
Why, everybody admired it when they come out here. Alvin's children come and they scatter all over the place. No control. Cookie's come out here.
That's one of the things we talked about all the time, Cookie.
Yeah.
The control you had over your family.
And they liked it. Yes.
Well, I tell you, I sure lost it.
Well, Well, don't you get things all messed up now in your mind like I did when I was telling you about my false teeth. If Fanny hadn't set me straight on that, I don't know. I'd stay here.
Well, I'll tell you what. I tried to raise my family.
Well, you sure have.
Yes,
you
did. Yes, you did.
And
you, they had all they needed. All they needed was a pair of shorts and some food. And if anything, they had more food than they needed.
You know, Guy, the first thing Cookie ever said to me, almost taking me home in that car, when we passed those horses, he said he had horses. And he felt like that investing in something that would keep the family together and keep them interested and healthy was the best he could do.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
I
right.
remembered that.
Yes.
And I've invested. I've had all kinds of horses. I bought horses they wanted.
Yeah.
And they're still unsatisfied.
Well, I tell you, Cookie, there's something in the environment. I don't know, that you don't have control over. A lot of it is the neighborhood over there, and a lot of it's the public schools. You see, they're not geared that way, and the children can't help but be influenced. See,
I can bring them over here and turn them loose over here. I never have no
you
trouble.
You haven't done that enough. You know, you've been over here very little.
Yeah.
When you used to come over here, right, Mike?
I've been over here a lot.
Well, since that Bay Station thing, they haven't been over here much. And they don't get to go to West Virginia like they... That'd be a good thing for them.
Like they want to.
Yeah.
Can't afford it.
No. Too far and takes too long.
I bet your daddy could straighten Frank out.
Yeah.
From what you say about your daddy.
I imagine Frank will catch a bus this weekend for West Virginia.
Oh?
See, daddy's horse struck him on the right shoulder and he's knocked out now. That is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my brother called me. And I told him I could get Frank up there. Well, Frank wanted to work in these watermelons. I said, all right. About when the watermelons get ready to play out, just before the last few days, I said, well, I'll put you on a bus and let you go to Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Get him out in the woods up there and let Grandpa work the tail off.
Oh, that would be fine. And then he'll be out of all this.
That would be
out away from all this stuff. I get a different environment and.
You see, the beauty of it when you was growing up, cause you didn't have all this stuff because you wasn't that close to it.
No, I'd back out there in the woods and I had got to go to town but about once every 6 months. Well,
and they didn't. You see, parents push children into these things now. They don't want to stay at home.
Well, I want mine to stay home. That's what I provide my home for my family.
No. They want to mix it up. If they stay home, they feel like they're neglected.
Like this this speech that this nigger gave up at graduation. Now, you ought to heard that. She said there'd be many. He said, the greatest percentage of the seniors here tonight, before school starts in session for another year, will be married and gone. He said, our parents nowadays stress that fact to get out from under us and get on your own.
Yeah.
And you know they do that. This one girl graduated, she was 16 years old, just past 16. And her mother, when I worked for them, her mother made a remark back then. Just as soon as my kids get through high school, she said, they're going to get out on their own. They're going to get married and get out on their own. She got married when she was 13. She had to. That was one of them shotgun weddings.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. They had both kinds back then. I don't know. Everybody will give it, take a little advantage of you in a trade, I guess. You know, from what I've seen of Everett, he's about as fair a shooter as anybody I've run into. Now, I have not had any dealings with him, just, you know, he just talked.
Well, now, he's treated me, I mean, he has been square with me. On that deal. Just as square as a man could be.
He talked to you and tell you what it is and
tell me what he did, and so far he has not lied to me.
Yes. Now, of course, that would be in part because he knew you'd find out. But I think he'd done me the same way. He might have taken a little more pains with me because he didn't know anything about the machinery. But now, this old county agent that I thought was, oh, I just had all that confidence, county agent. And I do in him, Mr. Boyd down there, sent that old wreck of a hay mower up here.
Yeah.
Now that thing was falling apart.
Did he ever come pick it up?
Finally.
What did he say about it?
Well, he said it was fine shape. All it needed a little adjusting. I had to tell him two or three times that I couldn't afford to rebuild his machine. See, I passed it off. I never jumped him about it. I told him I got a man to come over here and help me go out there. And the plates wobbled and the all that other stuff. So I went ahead, I told him, and rebuilt my own.
There you go.
Well, you done it, but
yeah.
I said I did it.
Yeah.
And had it done, had it, you know, you can stretch it that way. What I said to him was that if I'd used his, it would have had to be rebuilt.
It would have.
That's what I told him in so many words.
We'd have had to done the same thing to that one, if not just a little more, than we did to this one out here.
You didn't do much to that.
No. But we'd have had to replace all those parts that I replaced on this one.
Yeah.
So we had just as good a machine, only thing. And actually, this now here is darn near as easy to hook up as his.
That wasn't any pushover to
hook up. You couldn't just back into it and go, could you?
I didn't do it. No, sir. No, I didn't. I had to have right smart help getting into that. Well, anyhow, but after I went into it, he's still telling me that. And I said to him something like that, you know, maybe you hadn't had a chance to look at this. He says, I was on it the last man. And I said to him ahead of time, I said, I have to cut a lot of tough behavior. And a lot of them will cut other stuff, but they won't cut
that's
that.
Right.
He says it'll go right through behavior, tough or not. So there wasn't any misunderstanding, you see, on that. Well, what I'm just talking about, I think Everett's pretty straight. Now, there's something or other, I'll tell you what.